Welcome to the Inspired Business Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Inspire Wealth, bringing you interviews with top business professionals, empowering you to understand our current business climate and the successes and struggles other business professionals have overcome. Here's your host, Nick Boer.
Another episode of the Inspired Business Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Boer with Inspire Wealth, and I have with us today Josh Parrish from Vet Life, which is a nonprofit that really is doing a lot of work to try to help veterans access their benefits and acclimate back to everyday life, and not only veterans, but also the veteran and their family. Mm-hmm. So, which is a great, great cause. So we definitely wanted to take some time and have them on the podcast and be able to share their story and what they're doing, and to not only help veterans, but also help the community.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Josh, tell me a little bit about your background and how you came to, you and your wife started Vet Life.
Sure. So my wife and I are originally from the Upper Peninsula. I grew up on a small Native American reservation called the Bay Mills Indian Community. And if you know anything about Native Americans, dating back to World War II, about 90% of able-bodied Native American males have or had served in the military. And so I had a strong calling to serve from a very young age. My dad was the youngest of 13, and I believe about 6 out of the 7 brothers that he has served in the military. And so after I left college, I enlisted in the military, went to basic training, and I was deployed to Iraq for the initial invasion, 03-04. So when I left the military in 2008, you go through a program called TAPS. It's called Transition Assistance Program Services. And what that program is, in a perfect world, is designed to do is to help you acclimate from the military world into civilian life.
Okay.
It's a very poor program in my opinion, and they say, okay, you're going to be able to access all these military benefits as soon as you leave the service. It'll be really easy. We'll help you find a veteran service officer. But unfortunately, as soon as you leave the military, it's just like, thanks for your service. See you later.
Right.
And so I really stumbled for probably the first 3 to 4 years after I left the military. And it wasn't until my wife, which I'll talk more about, but and why we encompass the family style approach to this, why I think it's so important. Most military spouses bear the brunt end of everything when the veteran is deployed. And so they're like the backbone of the family. And so my wife, who's about, 105 pounds, 5'4", is just a beast when it comes to telling me, a 6'2", 210-pound guy, that you're going to go get the help that you need.
Right.
And so in 2010, my wife and I moved down to Livingston County, where we currently reside. And I started working for a county Department of Veterans Affairs office. And what I found was that the benefits are out there. It's just that the government does not do a great job in explaining where to go to get those benefits and how to obtain them. And I think this is a very staggering statistic, and it's current too. So 2019, Michigan had around 600,000 veterans, but less than 18% of that population were connected to a federal benefit.
Wow.
Meaning, and I'll talk about this more, education, employment, healthcare, and quality of life are normally the 4 main issues that veterans face when they leave the military. And so when we first started our nonprofit, we really wanted to focus on making sure that we increase that 18% population, which means that there's almost 400,000 veterans just in the state of Michigan alone that have never accessed one of those federal benefits that I mentioned. And so why I think it's so important is the more veterans, and we'll just take Livingston County, for example, we have around 11,000 veterans in this county alone. But in 2019, this county saw less than 1,000 veterans, less than 10% of the population. But here's the crazy thing. That brought back around $11 million in federal recoverable money. And what do I mean by that? every time a veteran gets a VA home loan, any time a veteran gets disability compensation, that's all money that trickles back down into the local economy to stimulate it. And so when I speak to county board of commissioners, city council, state representatives, federal congressmen and women, that's what I lead with. Okay. Because as soon as I start talking about, what do you mean money can come back into my county and right. I don't have to do anything?
Yeah, exactly.
I will.
You know, whatever I need to
whatever
do.
Whatever you need. Here's the red carpet for you.
So, wow.
Yeah, that's kind of my story in a nutshell. And I'm going to take a quick drink of coffee.
Yeah.
And,
no, it's interesting because I think we can all relate no matter where you're at. I think we can all relate. We kind of knew that a lot of veterans struggle at times to get their benefits.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is just not knowing how to access or not knowing who to go to for help or resources.
Yep.
So I think what you guys are doing, I give you guys a lot of credit. And I, you know, obviously, first and foremost, thank you for your service. And but the continued service you do, you know, to the men and women that served our country is really, really, I don't even know the word. I mean, it's so great that you guys are doing this and you continue to do this. So tell us a little bit about, you know, obviously you mentioned the four areas that is really your focus on trying to help reacclimate back into civilian life.
Yeah.
What are some of the let's say the two biggest obstacles that you face trying to help veterans connect to
sure.
their benefits?
So I will say this: we have no trouble. I mean, I've been doing this for about 15 years, so it's kind of just like plug and play now.
Okay.
But what I would say is that one glaring obstacle that veterans face when they leave the federal service is the federal government does not necessarily speak to that individual state
okay.
when the veteran gets back there. So there was a study that came out in 2016 that stated that a veteran will ask for assistance up to three times. And if they don't get that assistance by the third time, they just essentially blend back into society.
Right.
And so I think one of the biggest obstacles is that the two governments are not speaking to each other.
Okay.
But I also think that, and this is something that VetLife has a big focus on, is making sure that as soon as the veteran leaves the military, that they have all of their military records.
Okay.
So we've developed this app called My Veteran Record. So essentially what it does is, let's say that, you know, you leave the military tomorrow and okay. you don't get your military records.
Okay.
Then you turn around and say, oh, I need a VA home loan. So you need a certificate of eligibility.
Right.
That could take months to get. Let's say you apply for disability. You need all of your medical records from the military. I put in a request from Archives, which is where the records are in St. Louis,
okay.
12 months ago.
Wow.
And it's still saying pending on it. So what this app does, it's like an Apple wallet where as soon as you leave the military, we want to upload all of your medical, military, DD-214.
Everything right there.
Everything right there. So it doesn't matter if you live in Livingston County or Florida
okay.
or Mississippi. You get to say, I consent to releasing my records to a veteran service officer.
Okay.
So as part of this app, we've also built in, so we do these educational videos.
Okay.
So we like to operate off the credo of keep it simple, stupid.
Okay.
So we have these 30 to 60 second tutorial videos that we've embedded on our website. And so it's everything from what is a county department of Veterans Affairs office to how to enroll in VA healthcare.
Okay.
And we literally give you the application because these benefits are really, really difficult to understand. But just what we want to do is just give you enough information on where to go to, where the subject matter experts are.
Yeah. So you can obtain the info or obtain the resources.
Yeah.
But again, that's usually struggle number one. And the biggest one is where do I go?
Exactly.
Where do I access it?
Yeah.
Okay. So no, that makes a ton of sense. So, you know, you mentioned something when you were kind of going over the initial, like, this is really where we help. And that is, so a lot of times when veterans do access or can access their benefits, it can kind of implement to where federal funding is actually coming back into the local community.
Yep.
So Would you say another, not hesitation, but I guess another struggle is that local politicians are just not aware of this?
I will say, I think that you hit that nail right on the head.
Okay.
And so I'm just going to take any random county in the state of Michigan. Now, mind you, this is specific to Michigan. We have 83 counties in Michigan.
Yep.
Per Michigan law, Michigan Constitution, you shall have 83 county Department of Veterans Affairs offices. Other states are different. Some have a regional service provision model. Some have a state service provision model.
Okay.
But what I like about Michigan is everything we do is about localizing the benefits.
Okay.
So I think about it this way. Let's say I'm just in Oklahoma, and I'm just using that state as an example. If I have to drive 2 hours to get my benefits, I'm probably not going to do it.
Right.
I got a wife, I got a kid, I got a job. I can't just take time off.
Right.
Michigan, I can go right into Howell.
Okay.
Howell has one right next to the Secretary of State. I can go to Washtenaw County. I can go to Luce County up in the UP, and I don't have to travel 2 hours.
Okay.
So why I mention that is I wish every state had that localized model, but the way that, let's take board of commissioners that oversee counties, they're not familiar with how these CDVA offices are supposed to run.
Okay.
And so when somebody asks for assistance, a random veteran, you just get this all-encompassing answer. It's go to the VA.
Yeah.
And that is such, in my opinion, a terrible answer. And I'm going to throw out some acronyms. You have the VBA, which decides your disability claim, the VHA, which is the hospital, the CDVA, the MVAA, the CVET. I mean, you're not a vet. Can you imagine a vet getting confused by?
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah. That's very, very confusing.
Yes. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's got to be frustrating. Just you know, I can definitely understand, without obviously needing to go through this myself, that you appreciate the localized offices, because I couldn't even imagine you go to another big state and you got to drive 2 or 3 hours for a veteran to access their benefits. As you said, if you've got a job or you got a baby or you got things going on in life, how do you access those? Like, how do you drive 2 or 3 hours? And what if you got to go back again?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's why, like I said, I think Michigan should be the blueprint of how the country runs. I think another issue I run into is really a level of accountability with veteran service officers. Can't tell you how many times I've had veterans when I worked for the county or the state say, hey, I went to this veteran service officer and he was supposed to be here and wasn't there.
Right, wasn't there. Didn't show up.
Then that goes into that asking for that assistance, you know, on average 3 times. So what I like about CDVA is they're essentially government operations. So there's a built-in level of accountability there. I mean, anybody can go out and get accredited to be a VSO.
Okay.
But with a county, they're there, you know, 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. You know, if they don't do their job, they're going to have to answer, you know, for that.
Okay. Yeah. So that's it. So that's interesting. So, okay. So that makes a ton of sense to me that, you know, that oversight or that, like you said, that person, that's what their responsibility is.
Mm-hmm.
That's why that's a important point. You know, again, I think we can all, we all have heard the horror stories of veterans accessing their benefits.
Yeah.
Are there anything that you see as the nonprofit that is getting better, or is the struggle still similar?
Okay, so I'll give an example of it's kind of it's getting better, but if I wouldn't have interjected myself, it would have got worse.
Okay.
So the government, in all their infinite wisdom, pushed out this program called Solid Start in 2019.
Okay.
So another reason why veterans struggle is because a lot of these government programs are pilot studies, or they receive 3 years of funding, 5 years of funding. So the employee turnover rate is crazy.
Yeah.
You know, you may be here tomorrow, but if the government pulls your funding and you've been working with 30 veterans, there's no like transitionary period. You know, these people don't say, okay, you know, 20 veterans here, I'm going to transfer you over to Peter.
It doesn't work like that.
They're just like, oh, sorry, this phone number is disconnected.
Wow.
So, I mentioned before the Solid Start program in 2019 was a pilot program, and what it would do is we know that on average 200,000 people leave the military every year, go back to whatever state. So we know around 6 to 8% of that 200,000 come back to Michigan.
Okay.
So what the government does with Solid Start is three times in one calendar year they'll call you and they'll say, Josh, we noticed that you're back in Michigan. Can we help you with your services that you have questions for?
Okay.
So I had heard that there was a potential that this program would be around for a couple of years and then lose its funding.
Okay.
So I had worked with Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin to essentially codify. So if you know what that means, codification means that it's part of the budget moving forward.
Meaning it's not going to get caught. It's permanent.
Yeah, it's permanent. So,
okay.
But again, I think that's just a building block, and I do think that's a great program. But I when I called the executive director for Solid Start, I said, all right, tell me more about this program.
Yeah.
And she couldn't tell me anything more about it than what I could read on a blurb on a VA blog site.
That's a little scary.
It is very scary. And I even went a little further, and I said, listen, run me through a quasi phone call.
Okay.
And all they could do is just like everybody else. I said, okay, what about a VA home loan? Go to the VA hospital. What about disability? Go to the VA hospital.
I'm like their answer for everything. Go to the VA hospital.
Exactly. I'm like, well, don't you know about CDVAs? Don't you know about this or that or that? So no, they did not. So, first thing was getting the money there, it kind of in perpetuity.
Okay.
But then the next step is, getting subject matter experts that are going to actually be able to answer your question instead of just, putting on a VA annual report that, hey, we contacted 200,000
right,
people.
Right, exactly.
They didn't do anything. So,
okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, it does. It's just, you guys obviously do a lot to try to bridge that gap.
We do.
Yep. You've mentioned a few struggles already as far as, getting the word out, Congress or local politicians understanding that they can get money back in their community. You brought up Alyssa Slotkin knowing like, hey, you got that budget codified, so you know it's not going anywhere.
Right.
Because I think that's, even if you're non-military, I've had clients over the years that were research scientists or something, and they were on a grant. So you understand, like I understand that piece of it's similar to where you're only getting this for so long,
right?
And if it's not reapproved or if it's not extended, like you said, it's not like, hey, these 20 or 30 veterans, we are going to transition you over here. It's no, the phone number's disconnected.
Exactly. Yeah.
So is there any initiative right now, or is there anything you're seeing that you feel is helping push toward improvement of some of those concerns that you've seen?
So I don't, and I'll tell you why. I think that there's a common misconception, but I think it really goes back to reporting. Okay. So that the VA annually pushes out their annual VA report.
Okay.
And I want you to think about it this way. So in the military, you have enlisted and officers.
Okay.
Officers are the people that get to tell everybody what to do,
right,
and drink their coffee and get off at 5 o'clock.
Got it.
Enlisted, which I was, 90% of the military is made up of enlisted, grunts, people that served their 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, got out maybe as an E6, which was a sergeant.
Okay.
Those aren't the ones that are giving the input on these VA annual reports. You know who is? A general that's never struggled in his life or her life.
I was going to say that makes sense.
And then they, get to go to Lockheed Martin or in the financial sector, and they, the carpet's rolled out for them. Those aren't the ones that are struggling.
No, it's the people that are actually enlisted. And like you said, they spent 3, 5, 7 years in the military.
Yeah.
Now we're coming out, and they're the ones that are like, okay, I joined the military, A, because I wanted to serve, B, because I wanted to find some direction,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to have a trade of some kind, and the military helped me achieve that.
Yep.
But now, how do I get back to normal life and be able to turn that into a career,
yep,
where I can actually support my family and not feel like we're one paycheck away from being on the street?
Exactly.
So it's scary.
Very scary.
I can't stress that enough, that there are so many veterans that can't access their benefits because they don't have direction on where to go. Mm-hmm. And as you said, and I think this goes beyond even veterans from this standpoint. Think of it from just an individual. If you have to ask for something more than three times, you always say to your, like, when's enough enough?
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, you know, you're going to be persistent, but you're only going to be persistent for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a veteran, most of us would understand that you have a lot of pride,
mm-hmm.
and you served your country. How many times are you really going to say, I need help?
Right.
And I think that's probably one of the biggest things. Even me from an outsider not knowing, like, even me, I wouldn't ask more than three or four times if I needed help. How can you expect veterans to actually say, hey, I'm over here. I served 4, 5, 6 years, whatever it is.
Yep.
I need help with healthcare, or I need help with education, or I need help with job placement. I need help with something.
Yep.
And they don't really know where to go.
If the government would just come out and admit that they don't truly understand, you know, how to bridge that gap. Yeah. And I can only speak for me and the veterans that I've dealt with, but I have crippling anxiety when I go to the VA hospital in Ann Arbor. I've been treated so terribly there so many times. When you apply for a disability compensation, so let's say that, you know, you saw your friend pass away in Iraq or Afghanistan, or you got blown up or this or that, the government can't say, hey, I can give you back your hearing, or I can, you know, take away those nightmares for you, but here's some money.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And it's a good start, but 100% service connected veteran makes about $3,000 tax free a year. And so you have to literally prove that you were injured on active duty service. And so when I went in for my first what's called a compensation and pension exam, the psychiatrist that I spoke with was kind of mocking me and saying, well, you didn't see enough dead people. You know, you did this. And I can't make this stuff up. All he wanted to do was talk about his son making AAA baseball in Arizona. And so, you know, that every time I walk in that place now, that's all I think about.
Right.
Is like, you know, the subpar level of service that I've received, it has improved,
okay.
But they'll never be able to get back to where I feel comfortable again.
Well, of course not, because, you know, if someone, you go into a facility like that where you're expecting, hey, I want to be taken care of,
right.
I want to make sure that I'm going to get good treatment, and you've seen it more than one time not get good treatment.
Yeah.
Again, when is enough enough?
Yep.
It's, Josh, I can't even tell you, I can't express how frustrated that I can't imagine you have been, not only for yourself, but other people that you've helped over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, tell me a little bit more about that life. I know you guys help people.
Sure.
You help around the country. There's no branch of the military you don't work with, right?
No, we work with every branch, every era.
Okay.
So when my wife and I first started this, it was just at our kitchen table.
Okay.
We said, hey, you know, we're relatively intelligent people. Let's see if we can make a difference. I don't want to be an attorney. She doesn't want to, you know, work in the corporate world.
Right.
Let's try the nonprofit sector. We'll give it 3 to 5 years. If we don't hit our targets, you know, we'll just essentially have to roll it up. But with it just being her and I to start out with, we thought, okay, what's the best bang for our buck? So we created this event called VetFest.
Okay.
So we thought our first year when we did it, we'd get, you know, maybe 300 or 400 veterans. 1,700 showed up.
Wow.
And it was at Mount Brighton.
Okay.
And it was, I was actually in awe.
Wow.
I'll tell you know, a lot of people ask you, what's your why moment? For this specific event, why I knew it was going to be successful, and there's a testimonial on our website, a spouse came up and she was just bawling her eyes out, and she literally looked me in the eye and she said, I think you saved my husband's life.
Wow.
he had been, he hadn't left the house in months. Same kind of thing with me. Didn't want to go to the VA hospital. Yeah. Felt, you know, very jaded by the process. And what separates our nonprofit from other nonprofits is we do 30, 60, 90 day kind of buddy checks.
Okay.
So we make sure that when this veteran, you know, is asking for A, B, C, and D, that we don't leave this veteran, you know, to fall through the cracks.
Okay.
You know, that kind of cliche, we got your six type
right,
of thing.
Right, exactly.
So I'm happy to report that he has a job. He went back to school. I mean, he's...
That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah. And so my wife and I said, we're doing this forever. You know, and so why I think it's so important is we invite the veteran and their family.
Okay.
It's completely free to put, it's completely free to the veteran and their family.
Okay.
So we have live bands, prizes, bounce houses. I mean, anything you would want for an entire family to go out for a 4-hour period, to have fun.
Okay.
But we invite those vetted resource providers that I mentioned. So let's say that you have a question with your disability. You don't have to drive to Ann Arbor. You can come to VetFest in Livingston County.
Interesting.
You have a question about your education benefits. You don't have to drive to Wayne State. You can come to VetFest. So we have doctors on site. You know, anything, we can check your disability status. We bring all the vetted resource providers down into the area.
Okay.
And so here's where the metrics comes in that kind of separates us from other organizations as well, is we work very closely with those CDVAs I was telling you about.
Okay.
So the CDVA is the conduit that helps connect you to those benefits. So what we're seeing is 1 month after our VetFest event, a 60% increase in veterans going to search out their benefits at the local level.
And that's obviously, you can definitely tie VetFest to that as being a main contributor because, as you said, you brought in the resources.
Yep.
Right there.
Yeah.
So how many of those do you do a year?
So right now we do one a year.
Okay.
It's every August.
Okay.
But one of our board members is an old Detroit Lions alumni. He's a quarterback, or was a quarterback. His name's Eric Hipple. And so Eric was just recognized for a Salute to Service Award, which, you know, retired players go above and beyond.
Okay.
So what we're actively working on is to get a VetFest at Ford Field.
That would be amazing.
I would love to do it at Ford Field. It's in the heart of Motor City.
Yep.
There's 130,000 veterans in that area.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's our goal is to do this quarterly throughout Michigan.
Okay.
And then really just start to work more closely with the local resources at the end of the day so we can go to the government, federal government, and say, look at what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know, why are we not making this, you know, an actual kind of stipulation in your state?
Well, and it's I think we can all agree it's unfortunate because with the federal government, I unfortunately think you're going to have to get to that point to where it's like blatant in front of their face.
Yeah.
And say, here it is. This is what we've been able to do. Now can we do this in multiple states? You almost have to get to the point where they have egg on their face to where it's like,
yeah,
okay,
yeah,
we're going to do it now. And that's very unfortunate. And it sounds like the VetFest is a huge success. I mean, you've been able to help and support thousands of vets. So what's kind of your goal next year? I know you said you would love to do them quarterly in different areas. I mean, do you have plans next year to add more than just the August one?
Oh, so we do, I think, around 10 events a year.
Okay.
VetFest is just our biggest one.
Okay.
But everything we do, we try to include the local community.
Okay.
So another event we do is called Little Troops on the Field. It's a free football clinic.
Okay.
And so we normally get over about 100 kids.
Okay.
And we bring in my friend who's a retired Navy SEAL, jumps out of a plane onto the 50-yard line, gives a motivational speech. I think the National Guard saw the value in it, so they're going to actually land a helicopter on the football field in Howell next year.
Oh, that's great.
But, well, I'll tell you why I think, and I the way my brain works, or you probably drive you crazy, I really start putting the pieces of the puzzle together.
Okay.
On more of a national level. So I'm thinking about it this way. You get about 20 to 30 high school football players that may not know what direction they want to go in life.
Right.
Why not bring the National Guard down and say, all right, you know, here's what we offer. It may not be, you know, the best fit for you, but at the very least, let's give you the opportunity to see if it is.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So there's recruiting.
Yep.
And then what we're showing these younger kids is kind of a sense of purpose, how to give back to the local community, because some of these veterans are really struggling.
Yeah.
And they may not ask for the help themselves, but when they bring their wife and kids,
they will.
They will.
Yep.
They'll say, you know, Dad, Mom is struggling. And then that's why we have some localized resources there. But everything we do is a very non-adversarial. You know, we're not shoving it down your throat like the VA hospital did to me. We're just saying, hey, we're here. I'm your brother in arms. This is my spouse. This is my four kids. We just want to be here as an advocate for you.
That's so great.
We do that. And then this coming Sunday, I mentioned earlier, one of the events we do predated the nonprofit, but it's always been a passion project. It's called Harvest for Heroes. So every year for the last 8 years, we've given away around 200 Thanksgiving meals. It feeds a family of four.
Okay.
We work with Bush's here in Brighton.
Wow,
they provide the turkeys.
Great.
And we do it at the local county Department of Veterans Affairs office.
Okay.
So the men and women get their Thanksgiving meal, and then they get to go in and tour the office and maybe learn about the benefits.
Okay.
So, you know, we stay busy with that, but I'm a more of a bang for my buck kind of person. I don't want to help 10 people. I want to help 100, 1,000, 5,000 people.
That's how you're able to make the biggest impact.
Yep, exactly.
For sure.
So,
yep. Wow. Well, that's this is great, Josh. I appreciate all the info. You know, kind of wrapping up, you know, you mentioned one of the big initiatives that you guys do with Bush's for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
What, in what ways can getting more of the word out, what ways can we make the biggest impact by doing stuff like this?
Sure. And I would say, you know, just following us on social media, checking out our website. You can find us on social media at VetLifeToday. You can find us on the internet, www.vetlifetoday.org. We do have something called a Battle Buddy donation program. You know, as I mentioned, there is not an event we do that's not free to the veteran and their family.
Okay.
Whether it be our kayaking or our Vet Fest, we want to make sure that, you know, there's no obstacles, whether it be financially being able to afford it. Because try to take your kids out to a movie and dinner these days.
Oh, it's outrageous.
$200. Yeah. I mean, so we want to make sure that that's not an obstacle.
Okay.
So we fundraise throughout the year to, you know, pay for these free events for veterans and their families. So monetary donations, 100% of what you donate goes to the cause. And like I said, you know, we're very active on social media, very transparent. We have promotional videos. So in closing, one thing that I think is worth mentioning is there's around 43,000 female veterans in Michigan alone. They're one of the most vastly underserved veteran populations.
Wow.
So this year we worked with our community partners at Ford Motor Company and Consumers Energy to recognize every single female veteran in the crowd that day. And if you go on our Facebook or our website, you can see the video from this year's event in August.
Okay.
And there was literally a female veteran from the 70s, the Vietnam era, that had never been thanked for her service. In all that time,
wow.
They always thought that her husband was the veteran, and this woman came up and she was just bawling her eyes out, gave us the biggest hug, and you can literally see the look on these people's faces of gratitude and appreciation. So
that's amazing, and that's amazing that you guys were able to give her that.
Yeah.
So,
and lastly, I just want to say thank you to you, thank you to your business for allowing me to just come on and talk about what I think is a very glaring issue throughout the country.
Yeah, no problem, Josh. We're glad to have you. I want to thank our listeners for another great episode of the Inspired Business Leaders podcast. Please check out Josh and VetLife. Like he said, follow him on social media. Check out the website. Thanks everyone for their time, and hopefully we'll see you next time on another episode of the Inspired Business Leaders Podcast. And again, I'm your host, Nick Bohr with Inspire Wealth, and talk to everyone soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to the Inspired Business Leaders Podcast, brought to you by Inspire Wealth. To learn more about the topics mentioned on today's show, or to listen to past episodes, visit www.inspiredbusinessleaderspodcast.com. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode.